Hello, everyone. This is Tom Uren, author of Seriously Risky Business, and I'm here with the Gruck for another Between Two Nerds discussion. G'day, Gruck. How are you?
Good day, Tom. Doing good, and yourself?
I'm well. Today's episode is brought to you by Tynes, who creates a no-code automation system for security teams. And it can do all sorts of wondrous things with, drag and drop drawing lines. It's pretty cool. I'd also like to thank the Cyber Initiative at the Hewlett Foundation for their support. So, Gruck, one of the very early Between Two Nerds discussions we had, we talked about...
Seminal, I think. One of the classics, or greats.
We talked about the different characters that different country SIGINT organizations have. And one of the characters that particularly Chinese groups have is that they just did not care about getting caught. So they were typically very noisy. And now we've been recording enough episodes that it seems like things have changed. And so...
Or have they?
That's the question. In the last month or so, we've had a couple of stories where Chinese actors have been downright stealthy. So that's the way it's being characterized in the media.
Okay.
And so we thought we'd look at this and ask the question, why are they changing? One of the examples, the last month or so, Microsoft called the actor Vault Typhoon. And they've been getting into different types of critical infrastructure. And that actor, Vault Typhoon, is noteworthy because the thinking is that they're getting in place to disrupt the US military.
Right.
Vault Typhoon, again, was in the news just this week. There's a New York Times article saying that it's in more places than initially thought. So Microsoft had discovered it in Guam. One sentence in the report says, we think they're in these organizations in order to be able to launch disruption. And this week, they're in more places than the US government is searching for them. They were living off the land. They were using very little malware. They were getting legitimate credentials and using those. And they were using just tools, standard administrator tools to get around. So what do you think that tells us?
So they were operating like NSA for a while.
Well, I don't know how NSA operates, but...
Hypothetically, that would be one way of doing a stealthy operation, indeed.
Yeah, so the media reporting was this was all about stealth. Patrick's view was this feels just like a contemporary, this is how you do stuff these days, which maybe that's the same thing.
There's no reason to say that it's exclusive, right? False dichotomy.
Yep.
Right. Maybe the meta of hacking has moved to doing this living off the land, both because that's just sort of how everyone does it now. And it coincidentally happens to have these properties of being harder to attribute and more stealthy, which are also things that people want anyway. So it's sort of like,
yeah,
by following the crowd, you get all these benefits anyway. So I wouldn't say that those are, they're not exclusive. It could be both. Little column A, little column B. But
yeah,
I think the question we're wondering about is why they've moved to this. Right. Have they adopted this strategically? Like everyone's now doing this more stealthy thing? Or is it sort of operationally dependent?
Yeah, I guess going back to our original discussion, it was that Western agencies, the default mode of operation is just don't get caught. Whereas China was, I don't care if I get caught. And so this operation is definitely more stealthy. Does it make you think that the Chinese, air quotes, character, the way that they're going to operate in the future has changed? Is it a strategic shift or is it just this operation? Yes.
Right. There's a few things to bring up with that. First of all, we're looking at the classic question of change versus continuity. So like, is this more of the same thing for them with just a few bells and whistles, or have they actually changed the way that they operate overall? And secondly, I think a lot of the not stealthy, their obvious, their previous approach, the walking around with a cowbell approach that they had before, that was reflective of the operational goals that they had for what they were doing at the time, right? So we could maybe sort of classify them as a assets focused operation where they're just trying to gain access to something that they can use, and yep. they don't need sort of long term access to it. If you steal all the patents that are available right now on AI stuff that you want, that'll get you most of where you need to go. You don't need to sort of hang around forever yeah. to get the next
Yeah, it's a smash and grab operation and get
right.
what you want, and then that'll keep you busy for a while.
Right. That's just sort of not what the West does traditionally. In a counterterrorism operation, for example, you don't need a snapshot of the Al-Qaeda playbook and plans for today exactly, and then nothing in future.
Right, right. A snapshot's nice, but an ongoing movie is better.
Right. Yeah. So I think you said earlier it was it's an assets versus insights approach.
Right. Yeah.
So, and insights, of course, because you need that sort of longevity, you need to stick around. Stealth is sort of a necessary part of operational design, simply because in order to achieve your goals, you have to maintain access. To maintain access, you have to not be detected. Therefore,
yep.
they're sort of all the same thing.
So in a way, that sort of original conversation, it comes down to what you were trying to get. So from a Western point of view, if we want military and government intelligence, we want insights from that. And so therefore, we focus on being covert so that we don't get caught, so we can maintain that.
Right. So this is why they talk about sources and methods, because the ability to continue to collect intelligence is generally viewed as more important than any specific intelligence that you have collected.
Right. Yep.
In terms of the equity that you have. So that's how the West talks about it, because we hear it all the time. Like, that's their focus. That's the core thing that they care about, is the secrecy and protecting their future access for future intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. I guess once you've got an access, the long-term value of that outweighs so many things that you could do with it right now. Probably most right. things that you could do with it right now. So the question for Vault Typhoon, it seems like the type of operation would encourage right. it to be careful and quiet in the first place, right?
Right. So it doesn't help us answer our question of why.
Yep.
For this specific operation, the why is fairly obvious. It's a snapshot asset type thing on critical infrastructure is pretty pointless. Right? Really, what you want is that long-term access to be able to do whatever that future thing is.
Yeah. This is on the assumption that what they're after is the capacity to disrupt at some point in the future.
Right.
Which I think is probably right. So let's go with that anyway. Yeah.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
So another example that also seemed relatively stealthy was the recent compromise of Microsoft Cloud Services.
Mm-hmm.
So in this example, a group that Microsoft calls Storm 0558.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. They somehow got access to a Microsoft signing key, and then they were able to create forge tokens that gave them access to email that they were after.
Right.
And so that's also being portrayed as stealthy. Do you think that one tells us anything about China's top-level priorities?
Yes, in that they are obviously doing intelligence operations against the U.S. government, which I think is a penetrating insight. It's probably news to everyone. This is real stop the presses stuff. Breaking. But again, if you're doing that, it's an insights operation, right? It's mm-hmm. you want access to the State Department's emails for continuing access to the State Department's emails. You don't want it. I mean, you certainly want to know historical stuff, like that's interesting, but it's not as interesting as going forward the new things.
One of the interesting things I saw just recently was there was an interview with James Lewis, who is at CSIS, which is the Center for something. It's a think tank. Anyway, James has been around for a while. His comment was that it's standard practice for the Chinese to try and get access to email of senior leaders before they visit the PRC. And so in both cases...
I'm sure no one else does that. That's
No, I think that's right. But I guess the question to me is, if that's standard practice, maybe their modus operandi is get access, get caught. But get access before a meeting. Get caught before a meeting.
Right.
Re-establish access later.
This is the sort of thing that makes sense, right? If you're going into a treaty negotiation, you kind of want to gain access to all that information before the treaty negotiation starts.
Yeah.
Having access to it after the negotiations are over is not particularly useful. So you're not going to value that future insight particularly high versus expediency right now. Right. And so I guess in a way, it might be interesting to know about whether this attack, whether once they had sort of stolen the certificate that allows them to forge things, did they maintain access, or were they using it sort of as a point in time thing?
It seems like they got access a few months ago. And what tipped the State Department off was that it appeared as a new app ID in logs that didn't exist before. So the act of accessing the emails, I think, tipped State Department off. And it took a while to sort of pull on the thread and unravel it. Because
probably because everyone at State is using Outlook, and the guys that were like using the Forge one had like some Chinese knockoff version.
It's not clear to me if that was something that was in their control, whether that was just an oversight or it was impossible for them to control that, or I don't know.
It would be more amusing if it's an oversight. That's all I'm saying.
It's not actually clear to me how stealthy they were trying to be.
2 months is pretty short.
Yeah, and the nature of the operation is that you're not on State Department infrastructure. So, they're not going to catch you because you're not there. You were just accessing email with legitimate...
credentials. Legitimate-ish.
Forged legitimate, acceptable credentials.
right.
But again, do you think this tells us anything about China's top-level priority for stealth?
I wish it did, but I'm just going to have to say it doesn't. I don't think there's enough information to tell whether this was deliberately stealthy because they wanted to maintain access for a long period of time, deliberately stealthy because that's just the way they operate now, or accidentally stealthy because the mechanism that they used happened to be more stealthy than, just password spray, right? So
because Microsoft made you pay extra to get the locks. Yeah. That actually is, I think, a very good explanation of the different possibilities there. So that leaves us at a point where we've got a couple of data points where, I don't know, it doesn't really tell us anything. They look like they might have been more stealthy. Now, there's one, I guess, is it a counterexample where, again, a Chinese actor was on Barracuda email security gateways and they had operated again for a couple of months. They got pinged by Barracuda. I'm not exactly sure how they were discovered.
Really?
But after they were discovered, Barracuda issued some patches. And instead of doing the air quotes right thing and just sort of retiring gracefully to fight another day, they actually dug in and they used a whole lot of other persistence mechanisms to try and stay on those boxes. So much so that Barracuda issued advice to its customers and said, just chuck the boxes away. We can't guarantee that they're not permanently compromised.
Right.
So that doesn't sound like a top-level directive to be stealthy, does it?
No. But, it kind of feels like it might be a top-level directive to maintain access.
Right.
So stealth is only one way of maintaining access. Right. So if we're talking about the need to maintain... insight, right? Where you need to sort of maintain access to something. There sort of was a few ways I think you could go about this. So there's stealth, where you just, if you're not detected, then you're not kicked out. You axiomatically have, you know, continued access, right? There's speed, which I think is, it's not about maintaining access, but you could sort of, this is a bit more of the smash and grab stuff. Like if you can get in, execute your entire operation and leave before you're detected, then you still win because done what you need to do.
You've achieved your goals, yeah.
Right. And then I think resilience is sort of, it's another one. So with resilience, I'm speaking sort of this thing of the barracuda where you sort of just dig in so deeply, right? And this would typically be on a network. You would have all these persistence mechanisms across just a range of hosts. And you'd have, you know, you'd have connect back ping shells from Linux boxes. You'd have stealthy malware on a Windows box waiting for an email. And then you'd have all these other things with the expectation that something is going to survive. So when you get detected and you get kicked out, you can just gain access or regain access from one of your existing implants.
Yeah, yeah. One of the other things they did in that case was move laterally. So it wasn't all just on the Barracuda boxes, but they did do several things on the Barracuda boxes. So that's entirely consistent with what you were saying.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing might be, have they done enough asset seizure that they can now strategically shift to inside operations predominantly?
Right. One of the things that I've observed over the last, I don't know, 6 months or more is that the Chinese government pushes back more in terms of trying to say that the US is the biggest cyber thief. And it engages in that kind of rhetoric whenever it's called out. And so it seems like the US and Western strategy of being more transparent about Chinese operations and calling them out is having an effect. I think it's still unclear whether that's resulted in a shift in to be more stealthy. Like we've got examples, right. But I agree that the sort of operational needs align with stealth, so it doesn't necessarily tell us anything.
It's not conclusive. So, well, what would be conclusive?
Right? Yeah.
Like what would be?
You tell me.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm an intelligence analyst. I'm trying to decide, has China changed its spots? Right? Have they had a sea change in their strategic approach during cyber? Are they now stealthy, whereas they used to just be a bit more YOLO about it?
Yep.
What I would be looking for now is evidence that they're being stealthy on operations that historically they wouldn't be. So if they were doing the classic one, but they did like Bit9, then they did RSA,
right,
and then they did like Lockheed or one of the defense things. And so at each point, they need to hit one security vendor to gain access to a piece of software that did whitelisting so that they could add their malware to the whitelists.
Right.
Or they can, you know, do something with that because that was being used at RSA. So then they went to RSA because they needed to gain access to the seeds,
right,
that were used for all the keys to get access into the ultimate target of Lockheed. And then once they got into Lockheed, they took all the stuff and didn't really care. They've done these sort of multiple steps to get where they were going, achieve their goals. If they maintained access, it's nice. And if they didn't, so what? They already got all the plans.
Yep.
Right. So I think what I would look for, what I'd want to see is where they would be doing those sorts of operations where you do not operationally need to be stealthy, like where once you've achieved your goal, it's end game and you've won. If they're doing those in a much more stealthy way.
Right, right.
That I think would indicate a change.
So instead of smash and grab, you're looking for sneak in and grab?
More cat burglar, maybe. Yeah. But here again, it gets complicated because sort of the meta of hacking has changed in a way, right? So whereas historically it might have been okay to send an email with a pdf.exe attachment that would load poison ivy and you'd connect and then do some lateral traversal and make a RAR file and, you know, FTP it somewhere and, you know, you're done. These days, there's a lot more of this living off the land, a lot more of the trying to figure out how to do things without having to use customized tools.
Right.
And so I guess the question would then be, if they're stealthy and they're just using the existing meta, that might not indicate strategic change. It might just indicate an operational change.
Right, yeah. Not a change in direction, just a change.
Right. Yeah, it's just that's what everyone's doing now, and that's sort of how they operate. So I guess we want to see stealthy operations outside of living off the land.
Right.
I don't know, maybe if they had a like that snake malware sort of thing,
yep,
where they are clearly using malware design to not be detected, they're putting a lot of effort into that.
Right.
Something like that showing up now would certainly feel a lot more like a strategic change.
Yep.
So that's what we're looking for.
Well, despite all this talk of China being more stealthy than it was, I still see a hell of a lot of reports about their activity. So,
can't be that stealthy.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Grok.
Thanks a lot, Tom.